There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
This is how Nelson Mandela would have wanted to be sent off. These are blessings, and in our African tradition, when it rains, when you are buried, it means that your gods are welcoming you.
Each Christmas, we celebrate the birth of a child who came into the world with only a stable's roof to shelter him, but through a life of humility and the ultimate sacrifice, a life guided by faith and kindness towards others, Christ assumed a mighty voice.
You're going to do what we want you to do, says the evangelical industrial complex, and if you don't, you might find yourself out of a job.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
Late last week, the BBC announced in a report of Science and the Environment, leg bone gives up oldest human DNA. The discovery of DNA in a 400,000-year-old human thigh bone will open up a new frontier in science of our ancestors. And of course, it also presents a bit of a puzzle for those who advocate for human evolution. It doesn't fit the standard model. What's the problem? And what's the best answer to this? Is it really 400,000 years old? Does it really represent a different species of human beings? Another link in the chain of human evolution? We'll answer that question here in this first few minutes of the second hour of Issues Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, December the 10th. Dr. Georgia Purdom will join us to talk about the discovery of that bone that allegedly contains the oldest human DNA. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in on this December the 10th. A little bit later, Pastor Tom Baker will join us. He was with us yesterday. We had a power outage here that lasted all night and into the morning. And so we're going to pick up right where we left off, teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker on the birth of John the Baptist in Luke chapter 1, a little bit later here in this hour of Issues Etc. Dr. Georgia Purdom is a regular guest. She has a PhD in molecular genetics from Ohio State University. She's a researcher, speaker, and an instructor for Answers in Genesis. Dr. Purdom, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
What was discovered in this cave, and does it create a problem for the standard model of human evolution?
Well, what was discovered was human remains in what's called Cima de los Huesos, which is the pit of bones, and it's a place in northern Spain, and they were able to get DNA from the bone, which is conventionally dated to over 300,000 years ago. And when they did an assessment of the specifically a form of DNA there called mitochondrial DNA, what they found is that it's very similar. It seems to be related to DNA that they found in bones of the, what are called the Denisovans. And they are from over way far away from Spain, over in Asia. And so it was kind of an interesting find because they thought that these human fossils would be more related to Neanderthals, which are from that, which are found in that area, but they weren't. They were related to another group. And so in that sense, it was sort of a surprising finding, but as with anything with evolution, they're just going to take that find and make it work with their ideas, because again, they're very flexible, they're based on their ideas of the past, and you know, they weren't there, so they can continually change them to fit whatever they find.
We've talked about Neanderthals before with other guests, and they have pointed out that if you look at them, they're both in terms of their morphology, the body mm-hmm. form that they display, and any kind of genetic material we've been able to kind of tease out of their remains, they are indistinguishable from human beings. Is that a safe assumption?
Yes, it is. And, you know, just like we have variety among the human population today in bone morphology, the same is true for Neanderthals. And they do have some distinctive cranial features as well as other bone features, but Definitely when we look at the archaeological remains and things, they were fully human. They were doing very human things, such as burying their dead and making musical instruments and jewelry. And so there's no reason to think that these people weren't humans. And it, even at the DNA level, when you look at that, they're very, very similar to what we would call, quote unquote, modern humans today.
You said a moment ago that the evolutionists are simply going to take this data and do what they always do, which is shoehorn it into their model one way or another. What do you think is the best explanation for these for the most recent find?
Right. And so, obviously, again, we believe that everybody has descended from, based on scripture, descended from Adam and Eve, who were specially created by God in the Garden of Eden. And obviously, we have Noah's flood approximately 4,300 or so years ago. And so those, you know, people after the Tower of Babel event about 4,200 years ago or so migrated out and filled the earth. And so just like Neanderthals and Denisovans and now this particular group were descendants of those people, of Adam and Eve, of Noah and his family, and obviously of the people that migrated out from the Tower of Babel.
There's another classification here in the story that I found in the BBC News. What are they talking about? They're talking about Homo antecessor. What do they mean by that?
Well, probably just, I haven't seen that particular one. I was looking at the actual Nature, I think it was a Nature article that was actually printed on this. And so they're going to come up with a new quote-unquote species name for those individuals that they're finding in Spain because they do seem distinct from the Denisovans and from the Neanderthals. But obviously they're not going to think of them as modern humans, Homo sapiens, because they actually have multiple species within the human race.
Is that part of the problem, the system of classification, that is in many ways both allowing the evolutionists to perpetuate their ideas about human evolution and also kind of confusing the general public?
Well, yeah, it's always very artificial. Anytime we classify anything, that's according to what we think. And obviously their ideas about the past, that they would classify Neanderthals as, you know, they might say they're human, but, you know, not like modern humans today, not as smart, you know, not as, you know, intelligent, any of those things. And so they definitely have this mindset that we evolved from a common ape, you know, some sort of ape-like ancestor, and that this was just part of that sequence to get to the modern humans that we have today. And it does confuse people, again, but we have to remember these are just labels that people are putting on them and doesn't necessarily reflect really who they were in real life.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the DNA. A big part of this story is that this is the allegedly oldest human DNA that they've been able to recover from human remains, and they're putting it at about 400,000 years, and that if true, that would be pretty remarkable. How would you account for the preservation of the DNA in this case?
Well, what they're looking at actually specifically is they're finding what's called mitochondrial DNA. It's not DNA that's in the nucleus of the cell, but DNA that is in a separate little part of the cell called the mitochondria. And it's responsible for making energy and energy molecules, but it has its own DNA to make some of the components that it uses. And so there are many, many mitochondria in each cell. And so because of that, there's a lot more of that DNA in each cell compared to DNA that you just find in the nucleus. So because it's just more abundant in real life, then they're able to, it's much easier to find in these older organisms because of its abundance. It's very hard to find nuclear DNA that's that intact and that they can look at and be able to sequence. So that's why you hear more about mitochondrial DNA in these organisms versus nuclear DNA.
But the ages that they are alleging, 400,000 years, and in the cases of the other, as they would say, species within of humans farther back in the human evolution, 700,000 years. What do you make of those those time frames?
Well, again, that's just totally based on their understanding of the past, man's ideas about the past, a uniformitarianism, that things have always been as they are now, that the slow, gradual processes that we see now have always been in place. There's never been any kind of, not a lot of major catastrophic events or anything like that. It's just this slow, gradual processes that have led to, all of the things that all of the living organisms that we have today. And so, they found these in certain, I think they were calling them Pleistocene, Middle Pleistocene. And so they're saying, well, we know that this particular rock layer is associated with this particular time frame are related to 300,000-400,000 years ago. And so that's where they're going to put them as a result of that.
So what do you think they're really dealing with there? Remains of human beings several thousand years old?
Yes, and that's all it can be, because, when we start with God's word, we know it's true. God cannot lie, and we know from there that we only have 6,000-year time frame from which he first, created everything. That was only about 6,000 years ago. The flood was about, like I said, about 4,300 years ago, and the Tower of Babel event 150 years after that. So these individuals were descendants of those from the Tower of Babel, and it is actually interesting from, even from a biblical perspective, is how are these individuals related to individuals that are clear over in Asia, from a DNA standpoint? And, I don't know that we're going to be able to totally know from the genetic data alone, but maybe, maybe there was some initial group that migrated out from the Tower of Babel. Some of them stayed there. Some of them went to Spain. Some of them went to Asia. And so while they're, related, they've migrated to these different areas. Maybe they settled for a while and then migrated. We don't know, exactly how they're related, but at least on a genetic level, there's some relationship there.
One of the statements made by one of the archaeologists and I think anthropologists in the newspaper story that I read said that if we're really going to be able to figure out human evolution here, we can't just use fossils. DNA is the future of this thing. Do you think that the better our technology gets at recovering this DNA, the harder it is going to be for the evolutionists to make their case for evolution and human evolution in particular?
They'll always make it. Even in spite of all of the evidence to the contrary, just like they do today, they'll always make the case. They'll always find what we would call a rescuing device to make it fit their ideas about the past. And what's interesting is what they really have to deal with now with being able to find DNA in these organisms and investigating that more and more is the fact that many times the DNA information and what they're finding there is contrary to what they thought just by looking at the fossils. And you see this a lot of times. Like, they'll think, well, these two organisms are more closely related, on the fossil level by comparing the fossils, but then they look at the DNA, and they're really far apart, so to speak. So, or vice versa sometimes. And so it's really interesting from that perspective as they get a lot of contrary information. Fossils tell one story, the DNA tells another story, so which story do you believe? Well, again, we need to believe the account and the history that actually happened from Scripture, because science is always going to be, again, interpreted according to our worldview.
Dr. Georgia Purdom has a PhD in molecular genetics from Ohio State University. She's a researcher, speaker, and instructor for Answers in Genesis, and you'll find a link to Answers in Genesis at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Purdom, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
When we come back, Pastor Tom Baker will be our guest. We'll pick up where we left off with him yesterday, teaching a Sunday school lesson on the birth of John the Baptist in Luke chapter 1.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers, showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.
Imagine steadfastlutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska. And Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues, Etc. 300.